The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Stevie Nicol. A little later on in the programme, Frank LaBeouf will be here to talk about Arsene Wenger's plans to completely revolutionise international football and when it takes place in the soccer calendar. We'll start off, though, by welcoming Gab Marcotti and Craig Burley are with us. In case you missed it, of course, the big news over the last few days is the fact that Newcastle United have new owners, and they are very, very rich indeed. They take over a club that currently sit second from bottom in the Premier League with just 3 points after seven matches. It has been a huge story in England, of course, especially in Newcastle. And the supporters are very excited indeed. Mike Ashley is out. This new consortium have come in and taken over at Newcastle United. Gab, I just want to start with you. Obviously, we can see the excitement from the Newcastle fans. A lot of talk about how rich these Saudi Arabian owners are. How much money are they allowed to spend?
So, I'm going to make the FFP thing brief. As far as UEFA's FFP is concerned, they don't need to worry about it until they qualify for Europe, which won't be for a while. And in any case, those are going to be redrawn. The Premier League has its own version of financial fair play. It's different restrictions, but because Mike Ashley ran a profit some years and so on, the club's books are in very good shape. So theoretically, they could take a loss of 200 million pounds in the first season.
So could we see them making the same sort of statement that we've seen from Manchester City and PSG over the last few seasons, Gab?
I don't think so. And look, you talked about how rich the owners were. They're owned by a sovereign wealth fund. I think the big difference, there's two big differences as I see it. And look, I'm in the minority here. Others will tell you that they're going to go and they're going to sign Haaland and Mbappe and whatever else. But the way I see it is that the big differences between what we saw at City and Paris Saint-Germain is, number one, there are tighter financial fair play restrictions, certainly, than when City bought the club and Paris Saint-Germain a few years later. There's just a different climate out there. And number two, and I say this with the greatest respect to Newcastle, is obviously historically a massive club, but if you're talking about going and doing it as part of a grand strategy to raise your country's profile and bolster your country's image and whatever else, Newcastle is great history, but it is a massive local fan base, and it is not a major metropolitan area the way Manchester and certainly Newcastle isn't Paris. So I don't think that's going to necessarily be their strategy. I think in the short term anyway, I think their strategy is simply going to be, let's not be Mike Ashley. Let's be good stewards. Let's spend what we can spend, improve the team, and grow gradually. Amanda Staveley said as much, and I think that's the goal. Now, obviously, it's a better story to imagine, wealthy Sheikh riding into town with all this cash and throwing it around. And I think you'll see more stories like that. But certainly the indication that they're giving is that they're looking just to be good stewards and for a gradual growth of the club and to take it back to their level. A few years down the line, who knows?
Every player under the sun then has been linked to Newcastle over the last few days. The bookies even have opened a book on it. As to who will be the next signing for Newcastle. James Tarkowski, of course, is at the top. Then you've got Coutinho, Lingard, Ramsey, Wijnaldum. Craig, Philip Coutinho, is that someone you feel that Newcastle should be targeting, could be targeting to help them boost this squad?
Well, it depends what your strategy is. I don't know. I mean, look, at the end of the day, I think we talked about this a little bit briefly the other day, was if you want to improve the squad, clearly you need to bring better players in. But if you want to challenge Liverpool and City and Chelsea and United, you need to bring the best in. And they're not going to go, as Gab said, they're not going to be able to go out and bring 11, 12 of the best in at one point. So it depends what the strategy is. I mean, every name in, under the sun's getting bandied about, as you mentioned. Look, it's not like Jack Walker back in the day when he was the owner of Blackburn Rovers and there was no financial fair play, and he was able to go out and say to Kenny Dalglish, sign him, sign Shearer, sign the best players, let's go and win the Premier League. You know, to do that, to overhaul Liverpool and City, the two best teams of the last 3 or 4 years, I mean, that's $1 billion or $2 billion when you look at how much a player costs now. And as Gab said, you just can't go out and spend that amount of money. I mean, you might be able to do it over a long period of time, but not over a short period of time. So it's going to be interesting to see what the strategy is. And yeah, you know, you've got to convince. You're talking about all these great players, you know, Mbappe and, you know, Haaland, all these superstars that are going to go to Real Madrid or wherever have been mentioned. You not only got to offer them the money, you've got to convince them that, yeah, we're going to pay you, but two, you're going to play in a side that's going to be competing with all these big teams. And unless you can go out and throw a blanket over these top players and bring them all in, that's just not going to happen until in a short period of time. So it's great news in terms of they've got money, but in terms of a strategy, it's going to be interesting to see what way they go about it.
The general consensus is that Steve Bruce is a dead man walking. The man, of course, currently in charge of Newcastle. The bookies fancy Brendan Rodgers to come in at St James's Park. He is 2-1 to be the next manager. Frank Lampard's done well, hasn't he, to get himself in the conversation. Lucien Favre, Antonio Conte, Martinez, Stephen Gerrard, Ragnick and Graham Jones, 12-1. Brendan Rodgers, Stevie, is that someone you would go for if you were Newcastle?
I mean, I'm not sure he'd be top of the list, but I think they need somebody who knows the Premier League.
Who would be top of the list?
I would think Antonio Conte for me would be top of the list.
Right.
I mean, it suits him. They need organising. This guy can organise. This guy likes to spend money.
Yeah.
They've got money to spend. He's got experience in the Premier League. He knows all about
There's
it.
There's no longevity with Antonio Conte.
Yeah, but I think right now Newcastle needs stabilising.
Right.
Certainly on the field, and that means staying in the Premier League. You bring somebody like him in, he's going to be pointing fingers at everybody and getting every single last breath out of them to keep them in the Premier League. That's the only thing that's important right now.
Would Antonio Conte want this job, Gab?
I mean, he wants to go back into the Premier League, and he'll tell you that, you know, he wants an ambitious project, and as Stevie said, he wants money to spend. So it comes down to, do you believe that they're going to go and spend a ton of money instantly, or do you believe that it is going to be a more gradual thing? Like, the ground that they have to make up is enormous. And when you mention somebody like Brendan Rodgers, well, look, he's at a club like Leicester, who historically aren't as big as Newcastle, although I think they've won more Premier League titles. But, you know, when you look at this, he's at a club that spent a ton of money. He's got the players he wants. He also has a very, very rich owner. You know, would you want to trade that in for the job of getting Newcastle from second bottom to the table, you know, up to where Leicester are right now? That is already a huge quantum leap. And how many years is that going to take? And how many windows? So I don't think it's quite going to be that simple, unless they really do show up with a blank checkbook, which I suppose is a possibility. But I think, based on what they're saying, is very, very unlikely.
Who would you go for, Craig?
I think that if these people are, if this group is wholly serious, it's going to be a long plan. And I know Newcastle fans want to see, you know, it's been frustrating for them under Ashley, and we get that, but he's a businessman. But so are these people, and I think they should go for a slow trajectory and not try and just come in and blitz it, which is going to be difficult for them in terms of the financial hurdles. And so I think you go for a manager who is potentially going to be there for a few years. And I know what Stevie's saying, but I just don't see Conte in that mould. So, you know, I'd go for somebody that was clearly going to be wanting to stay there for 5 years or longer, because I think it's going to take that amount of time for Newcastle to at least be on the coattails of some of the bigger guys, because it's not easy just to go out and change a squad that is so depleted and so average in standard compared to the other big boys around the Premier League.
Finally, Gab, just for those who maybe haven't followed this story that closely, just explain, if you can, why this takeover hasn't been welcomed by everybody.
Well, it hasn't been welcomed by a lot of external people, human rights organizations, and so on, simply because of the Saudi government's role it's been acknowledged in the killing of the dissident journalist Jamal Khashoggi, who you remember was hacked to pieces inside the Saudi embassy in Istanbul, lured in there. The United Nations filed a report which held the highest ranks of the Saudi regime responsible. The Saudi government themselves, they had a trial and they found people guilty for it. That there's concern over human rights abuses in Saudi Arabia. There has been a big outcry over this. But ultimately, the Premier League felt that, you know, they couldn't stand in the way, and this is a business transaction. And they probably said, well, you know, Saudi Arabia is an ally of the United Kingdom. We buy weapons from them. We sell them weapons. We trade with them. Why should this be any different?
And of course, it's international break when all this happened. The Premier League returns this weekend with Newcastle in action, looking to add quickly to their points tally and get them out of the relegation zone. They play host to Tottenham on Sunday. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
In case you missed this, what Arsene Wenger has to say about changing international breaks: what I'm proposing is to reduce the number of qualification matches to regroup and make space for an international competition at the end of the season. This would allow for real separation between club and international football. Look, for example, we're in the international break and there are South Americans who can't play for PSG this weekend. I find that illogical. I consulted everyone and I asked them, do you want things to continue as they are? 100% said no. Between 80 to 90% of people like the idea of reorganising qualifications rounds to shorten them and to make space for an international competition. A World Cup every 2 years, there was more reticence towards it because there is something emotional in it. Now, we've discussed this a lot, haven't we? And I think everyone is pretty much against the fact to have a World Cup every 2 years. Frank, I'm right that you're on that page. Yeah? You like it as it stands every 4 years.
Yeah, I do. I do. I like the fact it's rare and therefore, you know, that you really want to be in it and want to watch it if you're a fan. So I'm against the 2 years World Cup.
However, can we also all agree that Arsene Wenger's plans with regards to shortening the qualification process seems to make a lot of sense than what we've got at the moment? Obviously, international break now, we had it last month, another one's coming in November. It really does seem to get in the way of the domestic calendar. So could we have one, for example, Gab, and not the other? Could we see the shortening of the international calendar to two main months and break away from what we're seeing at the moment? Or to do that, do we then have to have a World Cup every 2 years?
Well, that's going to be the negotiation, right? Ultimately, you've got stakeholders. UEFA and CONMEBOL have already come out against it. You know, nobody wants to give something up. So what you're saying, which to me sounds very reasonable, it's an old proposal. Let's have one or two international mini seasons where everything stops and we play international football, whether it's qualifiers or competitions, and let the leagues continue outside that. I think it is very reasonable. Now, obviously, UEFA, you know, are going to be against it because it messes with the Champions League. Some leagues argue that, well, you lose the momentum because the season starts in mid-August and you stop again, for possibly for a month. I think they can work around it. The question is, you know, is FIFA going to agree to that without agreeing to a World Cup, without agreeing to an additional World Cup every 2 years, or some other kind of FIFA-led international competition? To me, that's the crux of the issue.
Craig, does something have to change?
It doesn't have to change, but I do like the idea of shortening the qualifiers. I also like the idea, I'm right in saying it's four international breaks for a week at a time, give or take, yeah, at the moment?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I like the idea. I'm more in favour of the idea of two breaks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks each. So halving the amount of breaks, but having the breaks are actually longer in period. I'm not up for having one long month, and I tell you why. I think that's too long and an interruption of a season, as Gab mentioned. But I also think, you know, what you're doing is what you're doing if you just take it all over a month, which was an extra plan that Wenger had, is certain players could be out injured for that period for a particular country, and you're not giving them a chance to recuperate to come back and play international football. At least if they're splitting up somewhat, if there are players out injured, they may have a chance to return. But I do like the idea of shortening the amount of breaks, but a World Cup every 2 years for me is just not happening.
What do you think, Stevie?
Well, it's funny how for years we've been complaining about players playing too many games, and how FIFA and everybody else saying, well, we can't. How are we going to reduce the games for the players? Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't suit them. But now, if they get a World Cup every 2 years, it suits them not to have so many games, because all the nations, all their FAs will go for it, because there's more teams will get in the World Cup. So they're not losing money because they're playing less games, but they'll get to the World Cup, which means they'll recoup that money. Mm. So yet again, the actual players aren't being considered at all. Wenger keeps throwing out this, well, they won't travel as far. We've worked it out. There'll be 30,000 miles less travelled.
Right.
But they're still going to be playing as many games. You can play less games when it suits you because you're going to get more money and get another World Cup out of it. But when you think of the players, you can't do anything for them whatsoever. Typical. Right. Absolutely typical.
Go on, Gab.
But Stevie, okay, you have to understand this, right? You can say it's all about money, but FIFA's job...
Of course it's about money, Gab.
It's in their mission statement. It's to develop football. It's to develop football... Why? Around the world. It's not just about people in Europe. The money that goes into them goes back out to these countries. There's 211 FIFA nations. More than half of them, FIFA's funding is basically their entire budget. And so this idea that it shouldn't be about money, shouldn't be about development for these countries, I think is just silly, right? This is exactly what they're supposed to do.
No, you know you'd be
serve
silly.
The interests of...
Yeah, because all these people, the only reason they join FIFA and everywhere else is to look after soccer around the world. They're not interested in themselves or anything else. They're doing it out of the goodness of their heart, and they've been doing it for years. Yeah, right. That's why they're doing it.
No, but this is literally what the organization's
to all the world.
Job
That's
is.
That's the only reason.
I'm not saying, well, it's the only reason or not, is FIFA is made up of 211 nations, right? It's 211 FAs, they elect people, and these people serve on FIFA, right? Most of these FAs do not have any money. And so the only money that they get is the money that they get from FIFA. So obviously, when these people are going to go and say, hey, FIFA, I want to play more games, but Steve Nichols says, he doesn't want me playing any more games because it inconveniences him. I'm sorry, they're going to go and they're going to say, we want to play more games because that's how we make more money. And that allows us to run our associations.
I love that. It's all about the world football and everything else. But you've got the best players in the world who are dragging their heels because they're playing too many games, but it's just inconvenient for them to have to play more games. Yeah, okay.
FIFA, you know,
you went for the biggest heart looking after the rest of the world.
They'd be playing
to slaughter players. I mean, because it's inconvenient to play too many games.
They're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart. They're not doing it out of the good. The number of games that each country would play would diminish, right? So the best players in the world would be playing fewer international games anyway. But leaving that to one side, I'm not saying they're doing this out of the goodness of their heart, but complaining about them wanting to push international football and football development around the world, it's a little bit like complaining about a union that wants a pay rise or about a private equity guy who wants to make a profit. This is what they do. They're supposed to look out for all these other countries around the world. They see all this money, all this investment, rich people around the world. When they do spend money, they spend it in Europe rather than locally. And this is the only way that they can make money, is playing more competitive games and playing more meaningful games. And this is what they're trying to do, and that's why they expanded the World Cup. Now, that could be a right decision, it could be a wrong decision, but you know, we can't just make a big joke out of the rest of the world, because it doesn't fit into the way Europe and South America have been doing things for the last 100 years.
And so that makes my point. At no time, the people that are responsible for all this money coming into FIFA and UEFA, i.e. the players, not one person thinks twice about them. They couldn't care less.
Let's get the last word for you, Craig, on this.
They're reducing the number of games that they're playing. I don't understand.
But they're playing
which part of this is
all the best players are going to be played in the World Cup every 2 years and the Euros every 2 years. So they're not getting a break at all. All they're doing is shifting it from one place to the other, and it's the same amount of games probably.
Last word, Craig, to you.
No, because they're also getting a 25-day mandatory break after the tournament, which they don't have now. You've had players now who've had, it's in the latest Players Union, the FIFA report, there was somebody, I think it might have been Pedri, who had 11 days off from the end of the Euros to when he played again. So there is some good in this. Obviously, it requires more debate.
I still, I'm not getting involved in games and more games and less games. Let's cut to the chase here. UEFA and FIFA and other organisations around the world have never been more hungry to use the modern-day superstars as cash cows. And it can't continue. If it's less international games, if it's less European games, there needs to be less games across the board. Full stop. These superstars, and I saw some people saying, you know, morons online saying, complaining, 200,000 a week, whatever million a year, you know, all this preferential treatment, it doesn't matter. If you're elite level athletes and you want to pay for elite level performance and you want to watch it, then the players need to be in the best of shape, right? And we're just continually going down this road of more games, more money, and all these stupid ideas, apart from the one from Wenger to lessen the international games, but the World Cup every 2 years. And all these people around the world, all they're doing is trying to make money off these superstars. And I tell you what, most of them have succeeded.
Almost certainly not the last time we will discuss this. Just a reminder, the boys stay late to answer your tweets over on Extra Time, where you've got Don teaching us the difference between a volley and a half volley. Today we discuss the difference between an alligator and a crocodile.
passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Can't wait. Barcelona against Real Madrid live from the Camp Nou on Sunday, October 24th. That game live on ESPN Plus. Coverage starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. Of course, before that, for Barcelona, it's a little matter of Valencia at the Camp. Now, that is the big game, isn't it? This weekend as La Liga returns. Just a reminder, all these games live on ESPN Plus. Not only La Liga, but of course the Bundesliga on ESPN Plus this season. So that's on Friday, Hoffenheim against Cologne. That game actually on ESPN 2. And then what about Saturday? Borussia Dortmund taking on Mainz. That's at 9:30. And then 24 hours later on Sunday, Bayer Leverkusen against Bayern Munich in that top of the table clash. That's at 9:30 Eastern. Those matches on ESPN Plus. We'll be back tomorrow. Big show tomorrow, of course, as we'll be reacting to that game between the US men and Costa Rica. And for more reaction, Seven Hook. Always worth watching, aren't they, after a big game? Be sure to check out Football America's. It'll be available tomorrow here on ESPN Plus. That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching. Be sure to stay tuned. Extra time still to come. Stevie with me, Frank as well. Craig's back. I'm sure he'll be happy about that.
Yeah.
We'll be answering your tweets as always. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Stevie with us, Frank very late in France, Craig Burley with us as well. Stevie, what would a team coach going through in cases like Newcastle, where almost every one of them would know they are not going to stay at the club in coming transfer windows or not going to play any further part, even if they somehow keep the team in the Premier League?
First and foremost, everybody kind of understands certain situations,
right,
involving coaching and professional football. And everybody knows that when there's a new owner coming in, he wants to make a splash, he wants to make a statement, and generally the first guy to go will be the manager,
right,
particularly when the team's in the position they're in. So from there, you understand that you're going to be gone, but what the majority, because not everybody, the majority do, is they make sure that they treat it and do the best with every single thing they do between now,
right,
and whenever it is they get pushed out the door. One, because of professional pride, and that's being professional.
Yeah.
And the other is that, you know, if you just down tools, everybody in football will find out and it won't reflect good on you if you're looking for another job.
Craig, how would you feel if you were in that Newcastle dressing room at the moment?
Well, couldn't see the question.
Well, could you not hear?
I feel like Jan looking like that.
Well, sorry, you don't need to read the question. I've just asked you the question. How would you feel if you're in the Newcastle dressing room at the moment?
Yeah, but I wasn't listening to the question from the viewer.
It doesn't matter what the question for the viewer is. This is my question that I'm taking on from the question.
Okay. What's your question?
How would you feel if you're in that Newcastle dressing room at the moment?
I'm not in the Newcastle dressing room. I don't know. I mean, what you've got? I tell you what. As long as I had a long contract, I'd be okay. By the way, the viewers' question was much better. Whatever it was, I don't know. Can't see it.
Well, that's good. Good. It's going to be one of those. Stevie, what are your thoughts on Sula leaving Bayern on a free transfer at the end of the season? How will Bayern cope without their fastest player?
Well, is he going to the next Olympics as a sprinter?
Statistically, of course, he is the fastest player, isn't he?
Yeah.
And you always say he's very slow.
Well, there's a difference between being fast over a distance and being slow over a couple of yards. You know, when you're playing centre-back and the ball's in and around with a forward, you're talking about the forward's trying to get half a yard.
Right.
And when it takes you 3 days to move your feet, then the ball's probably in the back of the net before you can move your feet.
Right.
That's my point about Sula. Okay. If he gets a wind-up and he gets like 40 yards to get going, maybe he is fast. But unfortunately, you don't get that time in the penalty box defensively.
All the questions are for you, Stevie. We talked about this on the show, but do you think any players linked to Newcastle could improve them? Sula, Coutinho or Werner? Sula,
well, I think Werner, definitely.
Yeah.
Sula, no. Coutinho, no, because Newcastle need people they can trust. They need people that they know exactly what they're going to get from them. And that's not Coutinho. So I would suggest Werner could help them, yeah.
For Frank, did you get invited to the Marseille Legends game? Also, how popular is Drogba in Marseille?
Yes, I was, but because I have a knee problem, you know, I need a surgery on my meniscus, so I can't really run. So I say no, but I was kindly invited, and talking about Didier Drogba, Didier Drogba is the legend. I mean, he only played a year over there, but made so much an impact before coming to Chelsea that everybody remembers him. And they wanted him to come back. He never did. But in 1 year, he did something like only few people were able to do, being remembered forever.
Are you going out in a minute, Frank? Why have you got your jacket on?
I'm not going out. It's quite chilly in my study, and I don't know. I feel okay like that. Leave me alone, you know?
Put the heating on, Frank. Pay some money. Come on. Stevie,
it's all right. I like to be like that.
Another question for you, Stevie. Looking at Hazard, what's Craig? Craig's chopped liver today. Stevie, looking at Hazard.
Extra time. Oh, by the way, I hate extra time anyway. It's a pain in the backside, so get on with it.
Don't you just hate everything, though, to be fair? Stevie, looking at Hazard.
Well, I hate sitting in my basement when I could be upstairs having a beer. Hurry up.
What a hard life. Stevie, looking at Hazard, Griezmann and Coutinho, how is it possible for a player to be so good at a club and so bad once they change club?
Wow. It's always difficult to put your finger on it, but it could be the way the team plays. You could be finding it hard to get rid of an injury. It seems like Hazard's been injured all the time.
Yep.
Since he's been there. Some players, as big as stars as they may be, mentally might not be the strongest, might not be able to handle the criticism that might come their way. Maybe your family's not settled.
Oh.
You know, at the end of the day, when you... Oh, you're in a hurry yourself.
There are so
many things that could cause that.
Yeah, you've rattled about 300 of them off.
I will refrain from throwing any more in, but right, that is a few that could cause
a few reasons.
He's been taking this since I left him at the golf this morning. He's been taking some serious pills.
Hey,
but he's answering serious.
He was taking some notes for today's show as well when I came in.
I tell you what.
Oh, where's he gone? Where's he off to?
Does it matter? Who cares?
I tell you what. He'd be taking notes.
Oh, look at that.
There's more chance of him taking notes.
At least that bear's got a smile on its face.
Yes, exactly. Not for long. Not in Craig's company. For Stevie, shouldn't Denmark be in the conversation when talking about teams making a deep run in Qatar, undefeated in qualifying, semi-final at the Euros and quarter-finals in 2018?
God, no.
Well, the problem... Listen, if it was tomorrow, you could say yes. I think the problem Denmark's going to have is that they certainly weren't one of the favourites in the Euros.
Yep.
But through the whole Eriksen thing, they got galvanised. Everybody got behind them. Things have just... They've just been on a wave since then. Problem is, Qatar's another, 15, 16 months away?
Yep.
So by then, that little gold dust and momentum, whatever you want to call it, might have worn off.
Craig, what was the favourite pair of boots that you wore during your career?
Reebok.
Frank?
No. World Cup, Adidas.
Oh, black boots, I assume,
remember.
Yeah, boys. They
can't
black
remember.
Boots?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Black, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's yours, Stevie?
Puma Kings.
Yes.
Aye.
Black.
Black.
Stevie, if you could get either one of these...
I had blue ones.
When I... Oh, did you, Frank?
When I signed for Strasbourg,
yeah.
I had the first blue boots that Adidas gave me. And with special studs, you know, underneath. They started the new kind of Predator, you know, remember? The first ones. And I signed for Chelsea, I already had the blue ones, yeah. But I barely played with them because I liked the World Cup black Adidas ones. And then I signed for Nike, so...
Do you know, in the old days, those special studs in the old days were really good for raking them into people, weren't they? They sharpened them up.
Good long ones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you got caught with them or caught somebody,
right,
you knew all about it.
Stevie, if you could get either one of these
especially
wishes.
Especially the snow one, sorry.
That's okay. Frank.
No, the studs for the snow, you know, with the it was kind of, how do you call that? Kind of a leather underneath, and they were three pieces, and you were losing the pieces. So you had only the metal stuff, so wow. to stick to the snow, and you could really injure people. That was very dangerous.
A coach told me once before a game when I was quite young, 21, 22, he says, I'm not going to mention the coach and I'm not going to mention the opposing player, but he said, before the game, go and put the longest metal studs you can find in the boot room, put them in your boots and get them in that guy's face.
True. In the neck. Wow, yeah. And did you?
No.
Wow.
No, but...
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's a bit, not quite the right thing to do.
Stevie, one wish. Liverpool win the Premier League or Scotland qualify for the World Cup?
Liverpool win the Premier League.
Why?
Because we're not going to get out of the group.
But it's the whole, the excitement, the party.
Well, had they not qualified for the Euros, maybe I might have given you another answer. Right. But right now, no, World Cup. Premier League.
For Stevie, when you were roommates with Don, is it true that you hogged the TV remote, drank a litre of Coke and didn't let Don go to sleep?
Yeah, amongst other things.
Yes?
Yeah. I actually nearly killed him on that trip as well.
Wow.
We went golfing.
Okay.
And we actually... We'd actually just landed in South Africa.
Okay.
So we were still under the influence. And I was... Him and I were in the car and I was driving.
In the golf cart?
Yeah, and I took a rather quick turn over a bridge. And as you can imagine, all kinds of thing in the water, alligators and whatever. And Don got thrown out and just stopped himself before he fell in the water. And then he climbed up the bank and was getting back in the car, and this huge alligator or crocodile, I always get them mixed up, stuck its head out the water just where he had been.
Wow.
So he was almost toast.
What a great trip Don had with you.
Oh, what a
great roommate. Throw him with alligators.
What is the difference between a crocodile and an alligator whilst we're on the subject? Who knows?
Is this a joke?
I know.
No, look who's asking.
Sorry.
I don't know.
Why I always get mixed up.
I don't know. The location.
What is the answer?
The location. I would say the location.
Well, they're all in water, aren't they?
No. So when you look at one...
The location.
What's the difference? So you get different types of camels, right? And the giveaway is one's got two humps, the other one's got one hump. So what's the difference between a crocodile and an alligator?
Okay, yes. What? Why? What's that got to do with camels?
Well, because Frank seems a little confused.
Oh, well, it's Frank.
So when somebody says they're in the water...
I said maybe... No, that's not me who said that. I just said that the difference between an alligator and a crocodile is maybe, I don't know, the location of them, you know, maybe they live in some other places. I don't have the answer.
There you go.
It's great.
What do you mean, look?
Well, that may be one of the differences, but not visually. So when you look at it...
Yeah.
I mean, I hope those who choose the sports Emmys are watching this.
So what is the answer?
We don't
what
know.
What is the answer?
No, Frank.
Can I have the answer, Ali? Craig, are you asking that question?
Well, I just thought I'd ask the question. I'm sorry.
Nature boy.
Oh my God.
you're saying if it's different location. What do you mean if it's in Florida, it's an alligator, and if it's in Africa, it's a crocodile? I mean, what are you trying to say? I don't know. I'm not with you.
Yes, maybe. I don't have the answer. I didn't ask the question. I didn't ask that stupid question without knowing the answer.
Way. Can you ask
I'm just trying to find.
They'll both eat you. That's all you need to know.
There you go. You'd imagine at some stage someone would tell me, but no, I don't know what anyone is doing anyway.
You're joking. In that control room, you've got no chance. Producer, not a chance.
Wait. We've got a special guest who's going to tell us what the difference is. God. And let's go now, shall we, to nature expert Gab Marcotti. What's the difference?
So a crocodile, and I don't, not 100% which is which, but one of them, the jaw moves and like the top part of his head is fixed and stays stationary. And the other one, it's the jaw which is stationary and it's like the top part of his head goes up. So either it goes like this or it goes like that.
There we go. Thank you very much for that, Cam.
It's not only that. I think they say that crocodile have a bigger jaw than alligators. That's what it is. And they're mostly bigger than alligators. Well,
what? Crocodiles are larger animals.
Pretend you're not
they're
reading.
They're larger animals.
Oh, no. I'm not lying. I'm not trying to cheat or anything.
There we go. That's perfect.
I thought Gab was going to start singing Baby Shark there, giving it all this.
Why would he sing that about the crocodiles?
Shut up.
Final question. When is Burley's boiling point back?
No, don't get paid enough.
No, there we are.
You got it 10 minutes ago, didn't you?
Yes, exactly.
Extra time. That's gone. That's done now.
That's it. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you, Gav, for making that special appearance as well to clear up the crocodile alligator conundrum. We will be back tomorrow for more. Who knows what wildlife we'll be talking about? Indian elephants, African elephants? What's the difference?
What size of the ears, isn't it?
Yeah, what about humps? One camel, two?
It's called a dromedary. Two humps called a dromedary.
How do you know that?
Because I know a lot of things.
You don't know anything.
There's a lot of things I know that you have no idea.
A dromedary. I'm an ex-Stevie.